Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer, and we want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. Blessings of Liberty is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I want to take just a moment to invite you, if you are in the listening area and you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come and visit with us. We are located just outside the Boone city limits on Highway 105 South, or you would take Highway 105 South and then 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. So we'd love for you to come to eat and visit to any and all of our services. We had a wonderful vacation Bible school last week, and we just thank the Lord for that. A lot of work went into that and goes into vacation Bible school. And vacation Bible school is a wonderful thing. I hope maybe if you did not get to attend ours that you'll find a church. There's a lot of churches that have vacation Bible school. So it's a great ministry, a good time to let the children learn about the Word of God and have some good fellowship and time together. And we just had a good time. So we appreciate that. We're thankful for it. And would like to invite you to come out. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org. If you'd like to hear one of the previous radio broadcasts, you can go there and listen in. It's mtlebanonbc.org. Or if you'd like to hear one of the sermons preached at the church, you can go there and go to the sermons tab. We also have other information, and so we wanted to let you know about that. We appreciate those that listen in by way of the website. Now, we just passed June 14th. That was Flag Day. And maybe you knew about it, maybe you didn't. But this year, our country is celebrating the 200-year anniversary of our national anthem. And on June 14th, Flag Day, there were celebrations all across the country. The National Museum of History was promoting groups getting together and having a group singing of the Star Spangled Banner. It was penned by Francis Scott Key in 1814, so we're 200 years. And so you had the War of 1812, and then that was fighting was still going on in 1814. But the Star Spangled Banner, that's our national anthem. And I was reading and doing some research about the Star Spangled Banner, something that I did not realize, but in the 1940s, during World War II, if you went to the movie theater, they had a clip, and they would always play the national anthem. And at the beginning of it, and they would say, let's all sing along. And Noah has a clip he's brought up from the 1940s. But something that you cannot see on radio is the images and the pictures that they had along with it. And I was watching one of these, and during the introduction, it had like a teacher, and he's in school. He's teaching a lesson to his pupils, and there's a teacher, and he had flip cards. And so it's the introduction to the national anthem. They're getting ready to sing, and it's got these images up there on the screen. And on these flip cards, the teacher, there's a different saying, sort of his lesson plan. And this is interesting. What he was going to teach the children, it said on one of the flip cards, it said, understand tactics of communism. Understand tactics of communism. Then he flipped the chart over, and it said, understand disguises of socialism. You know, there's a lot of talk in our day and time about how our government is becoming socialistic, adopting communistic practices. Well, during World War II, they were exposing these things for the evil that they are. The next flip chart said, become active in government. And the next one said this, strive for spiritual growth. Isn't that interesting? In the 1940s, that was the message. And you went to the movie theater, and this is what you seen on the screen. And then there were images from World War II, the battles. And towards the end, it flashed up once again. It says, proclaim liberty throughout the land. Now, Noah's going to play a little clip You'll just have to listen in. If you went to the theater in the 1940s, this is what you would hear. I thought you might enjoy that this morning. What a good version. Noah, did you catch the man's name that was singing that there? I thought I had it written down, but I didn't. Merrill something.
I didn't catch it. I just closed it out.
Yeah, but evidently that was very, very common in the 1940s. You go to the movie and you think about that. Do you think people would stand up and appreciate today if they went to the movie and they played that and said, let's all sing along? Well, some would, and sadly, some would not. But the last phrase of the first verse says this: "Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?" What a good question that is to ask ourselves today. Does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? You know, as we sing that and celebrate that this year, we ought to think about it. Think about what the words are to the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem. I preached last Sunday, and my text was out of Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. And the verse there, the very first part of the verse, Jesus said, "But what think ye?" And just started out the message, you know, we need to think. We need to think about things and think about what's going on in our country. I was listening last week to a radio broadcast. Brother Lester Roloff was preaching, and some of you remember Brother Lester Roloff. He died in a plane crash, I think, in 1986. I'm pretty sure it was in the mid-80s, but he was a preacher. He had children's homes out in Texas. He was an evangelist. He went all over the country. He had a struggle with the government over the operation of those children's homes way back in the 1970s, early 80s, and even went all the way to court, and it was a lot of big news back then. But anyway, Brother Lester Roloff, in that message, and I don't know when it was preached, but it would have had to have been in the late 70s or early 80s, and he was talking about that very thing. He said, sadly, we're no longer living in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now, if he said that in the 80s, we'll say, my goodness, if he could see what is going on today, how different even from then. But as I heard that, I thought, wow, he's talking about 30 years ago that America was no longer the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, we've went a long ways in the wrong direction since then. Well, we've been studying the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. And I was studying this morning, and I'm just in my daily Bible reading. I read through the Bible every year. I'm up to the book of Ezekiel this month, and I'm reading in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 23, especially, I noticed some verses. It's talking about the judgment of God upon the nation of Israel. And God said he would raise up other nations to judge them. And so it's talking about the judgment of God upon Israel. Ezekiel 23, verse number 29, God said about their enemies that he would raise up enemies and allow them to come in and judge the nation of Israel. He said about these nations that would come upon Israel, he said, and they shall deal with thee hatefully, and shall take away all thy labor, and shall leave thee naked and bare. That's what God said would happen to the nation of Israel. He said he would allow other nations to deal hatefully with them. You think about our nation today and what's going on all around the globe, different places. God said, when I judge a nation and use another nation for that judgment, then the other nations will deal hatefully. I'll take away all your labor. And you think about our labor, think about the in the past many years about jobs being shipped overseas, shipped out of the country. We are a consumer economy in America. We're not a manufacturing nation any longer. Our labor has been taken away. He said, and shall leave thee naked and bare. That's what happens when the tyrant comes. The tyrant comes and takes everything away from you. Now, the reason is found in verse number 35. It said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because. God said, this is why this is going to happen to you as a nation. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back. God said, I'm going to allow this to happen because you've forgotten me and you've cast me behind your back. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So if we ask ourselves the question, what has happened in our country? What is happening in our nation? Why are civil liberties under attack? Why is the family under attack? Why are all these bad things happening in our nation? Why is America fast becoming a police state? The main number one reason is a spiritual reason. We've forgotten God, and we've cast him behind our back. And so that's where we are as a nation. Now, the study that we've been doing, the Bill of Rights, and there is in the Bible, there is this pattern. The nation of Israel, what they would do, they would sin, they would go away from God, bondage would come, tyranny would come, they would repent, they would come back to God, God would deliver them, God would restore their blessings, God would restore their freedoms. And so we're seeing a time where in our nation, our civil liberties are being destroyed. Our freedoms are under attack. We have so many things going on. But we say, why are these things going? Well, the number one reason is spiritual. This is what happens to the nation that forgets God. They go from a place of freedom into a place of bondage and tyranny. Well, we've been studying the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. Last week, we finished up with the third. We dealt with the Fourth Amendment. They both deal with the home. The Third Amendment says, no soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. The Third Amendment has to do with the home, the sanctity and the sacredness of your home. The Fourth Amendment, we dealt with this in particularly. It says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. We talked about that last week. Shall not be violated. The home is sacred. We gave example from Scripture. If you had made a pledge, if you'd loaned someone something, and they had it in your house. The Bible says that you're not allowed to go into their house and get it, even though that's your property, but you have to wait for the owner to come, and he will go into the house and bring out your pledge. So the Fourth Amendment says this shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. It's not right, I guess is a good way to put it. It's not American to just be stopped and searched. You need to have a reason. We ought to be able to travel up and down the roads freely without fear of being pulled over, your car be searched, your valuables, your private property being gone through without probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation. We said last week somebody would, if it got to that point, somebody has to put their reputation on the line, that there's this probable cause, that the law enforcement really has a reason to go into and to search somebody's private property, in particular describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So, you know, it has to be, this is the house, this is the address, this is where we're going to look, this is what we're looking for. And it doesn't mean they can go from that house. They say, well, I think he took it over to his neighbors. We're just going to go over there. Those things are not allowed to go on under the Fourth Amendment. Well, today we're going to look at the Fifth Amendment. And the Fifth Amendment, it's a good paragraph long. It says, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. And so when you hear somebody say, I'm going to plead the Fifth Amendment, this is where this comes in. I'm pleading the Fifth. I'm not going to be a witness against myself. So you do not have to testify against yourself is what that's saying, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. So some rights that are sacred to American citizens. American citizens have certain rights. One of those rights that we have, as talked about in the Fifth Amendment, you cannot be held indefinitely. If you're arrested, there must be charges. There must be an indictment. You cannot just be picked up and put in prison for no reason. That's what the Fifth Amendment is talking about there. You cannot be held to answer for a capital or infamous crime unless or on indictment of a grand jury. So there has to be a charge. There has to be a reason. If we take away somebody's liberty, there has to be a reason, and they've broken the law. And we place much emphasis on due process. You know, the legal system, I'm sure, for those especially that are involved in it, such as our law enforcement officers out here, it's a pain. It's a pain to go to court. It's a pain to present your case. I was talking with one of my friends a while back, and they were talking about how that if they arrest, they were in law enforcement, and if they made an arrest, they have to go to court. They have to prove their part. They're part of the case. And the guilty or the accused can sit there and not say anything. But all of this, we might say, well, they shouldn't be able to do that. But all of this is part of due process. If somebody's life, liberty, property is taken away, it must be proved. It cannot be a subjective type of thing. But due process, we place a lot of emphasis on due process, and people's life, liberty, and property is a sacred thing. And so the Fifth Amendment protects. It provides certain protections for us. Now, in the Fifth Amendment, there is an exception, and there's always a, well, what about? Well, what about this case? What about that case? Well, the exception in the Fifth Amendment is simply this, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. in accepting cases of a time of war or public danger. And so the way around the Fifth Amendment would be to have a perpetual state of war. If the government can declare a perpetual state of war, it can basically get away with anything under the guise of, well, this is a time of war. And that is exactly what has happened in our nation since September 11th, 2001. We have been under that very scenario, a perpetual state of war, beginning with the Patriot Act. Now, doesn't that sound good? Who would be against the Patriot Act? Surely a patriot would not have anything against the Patriot Act. But what the Patriot Act did and does is puts us under a continual state of war. And so it's under this guise of the fighting the war on terrorism. How many times have we heard that over the past several years? The war on terror is continually paraded before our eyes. And things are allowed now that were never allowed before. There's always been an element of this in our society and even in our government, I'm sure. But people, they willingly subject themselves to things that several years ago they wouldn't have allowed. Mass surveillance, confiscation of property. That happens all the time. Somebody will be arrested and, it'll get out in the news. Well, evidently they were doing something they should have been if they wouldn't have been doing. But there's no indictment. The press can make the decision for most people, just what's reported in the news. And people don't think. They don't think about these things. But the war on terror, so-called, is continually paraded before our eyes. I found an article, and I'm going to share a little bit with you from this article by John Whitehead. He is a lawyer with the Rutherford Institute. And this was posted Monday, June 16th. So this is very recent. And the heading or the title to the article is this: Has the Department of Homeland Security become America's standing army? And he gives a quote from James Madison to begin with: a standing military force with an overgrown executive. Now, Mr. Obama is accused of this over and over again, to be becoming a dictator almost. But James Madison said a standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. He has a quote from Dan Klein of the Albuquerque Police Department. He's retired, a retired sergeant. He said, here in New Mexico, we are moving more toward a national police force. Homeland Security is involved with a lot of little things around town. Somebody in Washington needs to call a timeout. And Mr. Whitehead says, if the United States is a police state, then the Department of Homeland Security is its national police force. With all the brutality, ineptitude, and corruption such a role implies, in fact, although the DHS's governmental bureaucracy may at times appear to be inept and bungling, it is ruthlessly efficient when it comes to building what the founders feared most, a standing army on American soil. Listen to this about the Department of Homeland Security. It is the third largest federal agency, behind the Departments of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Defense. The Department of Homeland Security is next in line. The DHS, with its 240,000 full-time workers, $61 billion budget, and sub-agencies that includes the Coast Guard, Customs and Border Protection, the Secret Service, the Transportation Security Administration, that's the TSA, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, that's FEMA. We've all heard a lot about FEMA over the years. He said has been aptly dubbed a runaway train. in the 12 years since it was established to prevent terrorist attacks within the United States. The DHS has grown from a post 9/11 knee-jerk reaction to a Leviathan with tentacles in every aspect of American life. And as I read on down, you'll see how true this statement is. The DHS has its tentacles in every aspect of American life. And he says, with good reason, a bipartisan bill to provide greater oversight and accountability into the DHS purchasing process has been making its way through Congress. He said a better plan would be to abolish the DHS altogether. In making the case for shutting down the de facto National Police Agency, analyst Charles Kinney offers the following six reasons. 1. The agency lacks leadership. 2. Terrorism is far less of a threat than is made out to be. I say amen right there. I agree. 3. The FBI has actually stopped more alleged terrorist attacks than DHS. 4. The agency wastes exorbitant amounts of money with little to show for it. 5. An overweight DHS gets a free pass to infringe civil liberties. This is what we've been talking about. The DHS gets a free pass to infringe civil liberties without a shred of economic justification. And 6, the agency is just plain bloated. He said to Kinney's list, I will add the following. The menace of a national police force, a standing army vested with so much power, cannot be overstated, nor can its danger be ignored. Indeed, as the following list shows, just about every nefarious deed, tactic, or thuggish policy advanced by the government today can be traced back to the DHS, its police state mindset, and the billions of dollars it distributes to police agencies in the form of grants. And he has quite a long list of what's going on with the DHS. He talks about, and I'm not going to read all of this, but I'll just go down the list. There's the militarizing of police and SWAT teams. Sheriff's departments all across the country, police agencies getting federal money to buy military equipment for their agencies. This is what he talks about. Then he says spying on activists, dissidents, and veterans. You are being spied upon by the Department of Homeland Security. If you have Facebook, Twitter, cell phone, you name it. There's somebody is watching your activity, the words, your associations, these things. He says stockpiling ammunition. I've talked about this before. Distributing license plate readers. The DHS is involved, and there's actually legislation in North Carolina right now to deal with the subject of license plate readers. Contracting to build detention camps. Tracking cell phones with stingray devices, carrying out military drills and lockdowns in American cities, using the TSA as an advance guard, on and on. He gives several others. I'm going to run out of time today. But how interesting. When we think about our civil liberties, how important they are, how we need to watch, be a watchguard of what's going on in our nation. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. We do appreciate you listening in. Pray for us here at the Blessings of Liberty. Noah's going to come give the contact information. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.